Amen. Turn our Bibles tonight, the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. We are going to be in chapter 24 tonight. Same chapter we've been in for a long time, but still, it's fun. I like this chapter. It's really, to me, I love this chapter. It's one of the few chapters of Proverbs that kind of ties together a little closer than the rest. But it's something else I had in my Bible here is Psalm 18. This is Brother Ed said they a church we used to sing this. I mean, maybe not here, but our family. This is kind of maybe a little bit of a youth song. Maybe I don't know, but how many know that song? Three or four people. Well, I'm going to teach it to you tonight. How about that? Okay, so go turn over there first. Psalm 18. If you don't know, some of y'all never heard that song. I think we did that maybe in youth group or something. It's kind of maybe a little more of a youth rally or youth group. It's kind of a little bit of a. It has the one side doesn't is a repeat little thing. That we're not going to do all that tonight, but we'll try it. I mean, I'm not that great with doing this a cappella anyway, but it is an a cappella. You don't sing or no music. Psalm 18 verse 3. There it is. Ready? It says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. And then we go over to verse 46. There it is. Ready? And then we go in, the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen. I like singing Bible. Singing Bible. You're like, I don't know, is that contemporary? No. I don't think so. It's right there. Amen. It's antiquated. It's antiquated. All right, now let's get back over to Proverbs. I like that song. It'd be better if we did, there's a whole, you sing and then somebody sings the next part and kind of a little round with it. It's fun. Well, maybe we'll work on that some more next Wednesday. Okay, let's. Yeah, it is fun. It is. We'll do that. We'll work on that some more. Yeah. That's it. There we go. So do your prison thing next week. Amen. Proverbs 24, verse 15. The Bible says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. Okay, number one, we have this here. This is a warning to the wicked. It's a warning to the wicked. So, here's the question for us this evening. Why would the Lord insert a warning to someone that will not be the reader of the text? Reader, like somebody that reads. So why would the Lord insert a warning to someone that will not be a reader of the text? And so I've often said, and we typically always understand that the Bible is written not to the lost. The Bible isn't written to the lost, folks. I want us to understand that. It's not written to the lost, it's written to the saved. You say, well, how does somebody get saved if they're not? Well, because God's plan is for the lost. I'm sorry, let me switch that around. It's for the saved to take the message to the lost. That's why he gives it to us all the time. Here's the other thing, just to where we clearly know this. The Word of God is a living book, right? In order to truly understand a living book, we have to have the living Spirit of God within us. Right? And so now I'm saying there's some basic things somebody can understand. There's some science in there. There's some logic in there. There's some basic morality in there. And yeah, people can understand that. But the spiritual truths are needed. They're spiritually discerned, is what the Bible says. Spiritually discerned. But I think we would also be good to understand about the Word of God that there is some what's called rhetoric. Okay? As we will see here in this verse, okay? Rhetoric is, I hate it. I had to take rhetoric in college. I hated it. My mind didn't work around all this kind of stuff. But rhetoric really just means you say something, but it's understood what's already there. If I say that's a rhetorical question, it's a question that doesn't need an answer, and it doesn't deserve an answer. It's meant to be the Bible has a lot of that, you know. And so sometimes there is an answer, but there, this is what we're going to find here. Number one, next under there, though it is addressed to the wicked, this is meant to be an encouragement for the righteous. Okay, it's addressed to the wicked, but it's an encouragement to the righteous. So, A, under that, do not, here's kind of, and I kind of put these backwards, B is, this is the gist of the verse, which is this, A, do not seek to harm the peace of the righteous. That's kind of let's read that again, verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous, spoil not his resting place. And this is what he's saying, God's saying to the wicked, do not harm the peace of the righteous. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's what he's saying to the wicked. Don't mess with them. Don't mess with their peace. I like that. I like it. Kind of have God standing up there, kind of bowing up and say this, and you're standing behind around him like, that's right. And then they look over at you and you kind of give behind him. You know what I mean? Look here, B. We will find then the reason that the wicked should not attempt this. Okay? We're going to find the reason that the wicked should not attempt. Verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Man, there's a lot of things in the Proverbs that, you know, you've heard me say this, and you've heard probably other people say this, and you maybe have said it yourself. You could read one proverb every day, and you could read through the Proverbs once a month. I mean, one chapter of Proverbs. Once a week, you know, because there's 31 chapters, and so you could read through it every month, right? But I'm going to tell you what, if you just read through the Proverbs, you're going to miss a lot of what they're really saying. Because it takes a little bit, we have some challenges, and we're going to look a little bit at that tonight. We have some challenges in understanding the verbiage, because we have, this translation was done in the 1600s, and in the 1600s, the people would have maybe understood like that what some of those meant. For us, we have to dig in a little bit deeper, but you go a little bit further beyond that, behind that, back, you know, we're talking about 1000 B.C., how it was written in Hebrew, they would have understood that then. That in the 1600s, it had to be tried to fix to understand. See what I'm saying? So there's a little bit in here, but we could study a little bit and figure out these things. So the reason we're going to find here, verse 16, he says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Okay, number one, here is the purpose of the previous verse. The righteous will not be defeated. The righteous will not be defeated. But the wicked themselves will fall. Okay. Now, number two. Let me get this part is the part. To fall into mischief is not what we think of it in our current vernacular. Okay. For us, if I say mischief is something like, if I would say, he's a little ornery. He's kind of a mischief little boy. Right? Or maybe say, as Kayla might say, he's a little stinker. Right? That's a Kayla phrase. Or, you know, we almost like, it's almost kind of slightly cute or petty. That little stinker, that he's, you're a mischief one, aren't you, right? We kind of, right? Isn't that kind of how we use mischief? We kind of think of mischief in our vernacular today, kind of a little, he's not bad, he's just a little mischief. I probably said that exact phrase. He's not a bad kid, he's just mischief. Matter of fact, maybe that's what would have been, I wish that would have been said about me, except for what it said, no, he's just bad, right, when I was a kid. But, so that's how we would have, that's why sometimes, and oftentimes, we need to really look up meanings of words. Because what it meant, by the way, it doesn't mean there's a problem with the Bible that we have. It just means we've got to spend a little time to understand these things. And when we understand these words and get the definitions of words, it's like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. Right? A lot of things I got stuck on, you know, I was reading through the Bible and I got stuck. And I'm like, man, I don't understand that. And I'd read it and 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 didn't understand it. And I'd ask somebody else and they would say something that still sounded. And I'm like, okay, I guess you just don't get to know everything, right? That's kind of, you ever been like that? I've been like that many times. What I have found out the longer I've been studying the Word of God is that if I study words and sometimes grammar, oh, that makes sense, right? So anyway, so here, A, the word mischief means ruin and utter destruction. That's actually the meaning of the Hebrew word that was translated into English as mischief. It actually means ruin and utter destruction. So see then the encouragement in this verse for us is to not be discouraged. The wicked will not be victorious. The wicked, that's the blank there. The wicked will not be victorious. We will not fall, but they will. Okay? That's the encouragement for us. Hey, listen, they're going to be honest. They're going to give us grief. They're going to give us trouble. They're going to do this kind of thing. And he's saying, God's saying to the wicked, by the way, the wicked isn't going to read that. But he's saying God has kind of given us this thought and given this sense of it. He said, wicked, leave them alone. Don't interrupt their peace. And God said, listen, don't worry. Don't be discouraged. You're not going to fail. They're not going to be victorious. You're going to succeed, but they are going to fall. They're going to come into destruction. So see, let me just read through that again. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So number one, seven times doesn't give us the limit of the amount of success we will have. It is a Hebrew idiom that we find used in scriptures. Okay, we're familiar with another seven, aren't we? Seven times 70, which, what does that equal? Well, yeah, it is. It's in the passage about forgiving. We're to forgive seven times 70, which equals what? It does not equal 490. Okay, this is, we're not using that math. Okay, we're not using that math. And you were right. That's the right, if we're using math, but we're not using that math. It's not meant to be used math. It's an idiom that kind of gives an idea. Look at, let's keep your place here and turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and 164. 164 verses in 119 chapters. That's the Psalms. Some year we will study through Psalm 119. That, you know, how long that would take me, right? Okay, 164, he says this, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. So if I can hit seven times a day by, like, say, 8 o'clock, my box is checked for the day. I'm done. No, there's seven actual increments of time throughout the day, right? There's, you know, in the morning, there's, you know, at 10 o'clock, right? See, no. Listen, A, under that, the term here means continual, or here's another meaning of it, to the fullest extent. Okay? So when he's saying here in Psalm 119, 164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments, he's saying, I praise thee continually. I praise thee to the fullest extent that I can praise thee. So when he says seven, why do you think he uses seven? That's it. Exactly. Why do we... But let's flip that around, though. It's the number of completion or the number of perfection. So let's flip it around the other side, though. Let's actually flip that over on its head. Why do we call it the number of perfection or the number of completion? Can I say this? Maybe the reason we call it the number of perfection or the number of completion is because that's how it's used as an idiom in the Hebrew Bible. They use it that way as the fullest extent. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, obviously it was the chicken because God didn't create eggs, He created animals. But what I'm saying is sometimes we wrap this together, right? The reason it's called the number of perfection or the number of completion is because that's how it's used in the Bible, right? It didn't get used that way because that's what it means. It means that because that's how it's used. And so it's an idiom. And so it's something when we find this thing, when he says seven times, just go to it. It almost never means the number seven. Unless it's obviously the number seven. When he says the seven churches in the book of Revelation, it's actually seven churches. Right? But otherwise it's used as a figure of speech. And it's clearly seen here in the book of Psalm. Let's go back over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 31. Proverbs 6, verse 31. The Bible says, but if he be found, he shall restore how much? Sevenfold. Watch what he says. He shall give how much? All the substance of his house. Right. Here it means completely. Right? Isn't that funny? It says he's going to give sevenfold. Then it says he's going to give everything. Right? So I'm trying to help you see a couple places. There's more. But I want you to see a couple places that when we talk about that number seven, it's really, in this sense, it's not hidden language, folks. Don't get into this. Don't get. That's a rabbit hole that just buries people. You go, well, let's look for all the hidden meanings in the message. Like God's trying to hide His word from us. You know where He's trying to hide it? In our heart. He's not trying to keep it from us. But there's some idioms, and that's why sometimes it can seem a little bit difficult to find, because sometimes He does say it's a mystery. There was things that were mystery. Can I say this? Were mysteries. That's because the rest of the story hadn't unfolded yet. It wasn't time. But at the appointed time, Jesus came to this earth, right? So we find this thing, it gives that understanding. So, the righteous, number two, the righteous will rise up, continue. Let's go back to Proverbs 24, just so we get back in context here. Proverbs 24, you got your string there maybe, in verse 16. The just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So, number two, we're talking about the righteous will rise up continually and completely, whereas the wicked are bound for what? Destruction. They're bound for destruction. So this is the encouragement. Do the wicked... Isn't it interesting we're here? We just come here. I didn't time this and just... Same thing we've been dealing with Sunday mornings in the book of 1 Peter. We're seeing this kind of thing. We've been seeing it Sunday nights with the post-exilic Israel. I mean, they've been constantly, people have been on. Here's the encouragement God wants us to have is the wicked may come across. They may come against us. They may come against us. But listen, it may sometimes, you ever had an interaction with the wicked? And you didn't answer right. I mean, you should have had a little more grace, or maybe a lot more. You should have had a little kindness, a little love, or at least should have shut your mouth. Right? And we didn't. Yeah, we're all like that. We all have it. Here's the thing. We're going to fail at times. We're going to fail at times. I've been started working on the message Sunday morning. We're dealing with Peter, right? And we're going to see that Sunday morning. I don't want to preach too much of that, but here he was, the guy, during the crucifixion of Christ, what was he doing? Denying warming his hands over the wicked's fire. And that cock crowed, and he looked up, and there was Jesus looking, just like Matthew, looking right in the eye. Could you imagine? And all of a sudden, all those flashbacks. No, I would never, never, Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, you will, buddy. And all of a sudden, he looked at him like, oh, I did everything I said I wouldn't. I am a terrible person. But the righteous fall 7 times, but rise up again. Amen? Folks, listen, I want to encourage you with this tonight. You're going to make mistakes. I don't ever want you to make a mistake. Ever. I don't want my kids to ever make a mistake. Too late. No. I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to make mistakes. But, you know, we're gonna blow it at times. And I'm talking about sometimes we're going to go into sin. Rejection of God. We're going to make bad choices against God instead of we're going to choose the way of wickedness instead of the way of God. But I'm going to tell you what he said. What we find, what God said wants to encourage us with is you're going to rise up again. Okay? Rise up again. When do we start rising up again? I'm going to say right now. Right now. But the wicked, they're bound for destruction. So, A, under that. Therefore, should we rejoice in their calamity? What brings us to number 2? Rejoice not. Rejoice not. Look at verse 17. He says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Oh, man. This is actually a pretty tough one, if we'll be honest. You ever had that person that just always wants to beat you and usually does? And then as soon as they beat you, they make sure they... right? They make sure that they've kind of... I won. And man, I'm saying, doesn't that just... I don't know how you are. Maybe y'all are not like this. But it takes every bit of grace and self-control to say, well, congratulations. I'm glad, not good. And then they don't care for that. They just keep going. You ever had somebody like that and just keep going and just like, you can't even breathe. You're about to vomit. Something's about to explode. And then they turn away and they trip and fall and break their nose on the ground. And you're like, yeah, that's what you get, right? Right? I mean, we wouldn't do that. We've heard of people that do that. You know, I'm saying this is actually a pretty tough thing. Now, I'm not saying we don't want them to break their nose. I'm just saying when that enemy is working us over and God says, do not mess with the peace, and we're sticking our head around and we're like, and we're kind of hiding behind God a little bit. And then God brings judgment on their life in the here and now, and we come out like, yeah, I thought so. And we want to do that. We might not have that exact kind of thing, but I'm telling you, this is kind of what I would like to call human nature. This is why humanity likes the winner to lose. That's why America is the hated nation. Y'all know that. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm saying that's why America's the hated nation. We're the most hated nation that everybody wants to come be a part of. Right?
America,
the only people that don't want to be part of us are those that want to keep their passport and go live somewhere else. They don't want to give up their passport. I still want to be American because, you know, the benefits. But, I mean, listen, it's but I'm going to tell you what. I almost feel bad in the Olympics that all of our teams win so often. I almost feel bad, but I'm an American, so not completely, but almost. And I'm thankful when the American winner of that or something, it does it gracefully and shakes the hand, and just it just turns my stomach when they're up there like, yeah, we're awesome, you know. But this is kind of the way it is. So here's what he's saying here. In verse 17, he says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Okay, A, we're now speaking of the believer's spirit or attitude. Okay, we're speaking of our attitude. It's not just what we do, because I don't know how you can necessarily, how do you quantify, there to rejoicing and letting thy heart be glad. I can be glad with a straight face. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about our action right now, it's about our spirit and our attitude that he's going to be dealing with. Number one, under there, yes, they will fall into utter ruin and eternal judgment. That is true. They are going to fall into that place. That's their destiny, folks. If they continue where they're at, that is their destiny. He just said it. He said they're going to fall into mischief, which is utter judgment. It's happening. A, but do not find yourself rejoicing, celebrating, or otherwise enjoying that fact. Now, I don't know what kind of cruel person would actually enjoy the thought of someone burning in torment, separated from God forever. I don't know that we would get to that point. But sometimes we can be so frustrated with the wicked that we can almost get this kind of attitude. When I say almost, I think this is really our attitude. This is, well, then they could just go to hell. And we kind of, fine. Then you could just go on your own. I'm not even going to try to help you anymore. Like we're the arbitrator of truth. See what I'm saying? He said, listen, he gave this to encourage us. He said, but don't get so encouraged that you are now enjoying their loss. Look here. The purpose of this encouragement is not for us to snicker with a side eye at their disastrous end. I knew that's what was going to happen to you. And not only just at the end, but even now, when calamity comes and trouble comes to them, that we're almost kind of happy. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know I've been there at times. You're almost kind of, I don't even use the word glad, but I mean, that's what the Bible uses. So I guess that's probably, and I've kind of found myself there. You're almost glad that, and then what we do, okay, what I've done, and what we'll do sometimes is kind of say, I just mean, you know, for God's sake. But in reality, I'm glad that they lost, and I'm kind of rejoicing in the loss. And that's where our problem comes in. No, the idea of encouragement for us is the idea of encouragement for us is that we will be victorious in this life and in the next. So here's the thing. Can we be encouraged without there happening to be somebody else smashed into the dirt, into rejection? I mean, listen, is the only way for me to be encouraged knowing that listen, God's saying, you're going to rise up, man. You're going to rise up again. As a matter of fact, eternally, you're going to rise up. They're going to destruction. But here's the thing. The point is that that's supposed to encourage me in my life. Not cause me to have angst against them, like, yeah, that's what God's doing to you. No, he said, don't do that. Don't stop. Let's don't talk like that, folks. Right? Let's don't talk like that. Sometimes we say stuff, and we're all guilty that we say stuff to try to be, I don't know what, we try to be funny or something, but man, we're already out of time. What'd I do? What is wrong with me? I'm terrible at this. Okay. B, there's a warning here for us. Man, I didn't have much here. I run my mouth too much. I don't want to just zip through this. It's too much. I mean, I've got a bunch of it. To be continued. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we're so thankful that you have made this so clear that, or no matter what the wicked do to us, Lord, they have no power over our peace. Or they have no control. They can't take it away. Lord, help us to remember that in this life and as we endure challenges and difficulties, maybe even from loved ones that would bring pressure. Lord, our goal isn't to mock and rejoice in their end, but that we are so firmly set in our direction with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, would you guide us and give us encouragement this week? And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.